The Radio Friends with Paul Pepper podcast is supported on KBIA by Moberly Regional Medical Center. From the flu to more serious health issues, the ER team at Moberly Regional has the knowledge and care to handle all types of injuries and illnesses. When you have an emergency, don't delay. Trust the ER team at Moberly Regional Medical Center at 1515 Union Avenue and at MoberlyHospital.com. Moberly Regional Medical Center.
Good morning and welcome to Radio Friends on Friday, June the 13th. And you know, I didn't realize until just a couple of minutes ago that this is Friday the 13th.
13's a good number.
Friday the 13th.
It's the best number between 12 and 14.
I guess that's right, isn't it? How did the 13th, Friday the 13th get it?
I don't know.
You don't want to go there today?
Not today. No, we don't want to do a 13th. We want to do a Father's Day.
That's right. This coming Sunday is Father's Day, and you were on and did a Mother's Day story, and we had a lot of comments, a lot of nice comments about that.
Well, good.
They wanted you to come back on the weekend going into Father's Day and share a story with us.
Although this one will be about my grandfather.
But that's your grandfather.
That'll still work, though.
Sure, sure.
Okay.
All right. So here is Larry Brown with a Father's Day story about his grandfather.
When I was a kid growing up in the early 1950s, one of the best moments of my life was when my grandfather Hopkins would come and pick me up and carry me out to the old black Ford coupe, and we'd go on an adventure. Well, it was an adventure to me. It was work for him. But if I could go along, it was just a wonderful experience. Now, my grandfather Hopkins was kind of a jack of all trades. He had learned to do a lot of things through the Depression and the World War II era. He was a cowboy when he was a young man, and he farmed for a while. He was an ice man delivering ice to people's homes, and actually accumulated over a lifetime 60 years of auctioneering and had a secondhand store. He dabbled a little bit in real estate. And for a while, he sold W.T. Raleigh products to farm households. Now, W.T. Raleigh Company was sort of famous then for its vanilla and its spices, but also household supplies and, you know, on the order of Stanley Brush. And it was a door-to-door salesman sort of thing, but for country folk. So we would travel out into the countryside. And I just loved to do that. Well, I loved it for a number of reasons. Well, he was a storyteller, so I could listen to him all day long. And the conversations he'd have with people as he was selling the products was great. And to see the landscape, where we lived was southwestern Nebraska, right on the Kansas line. And he sort of worked both Kansas and Nebraska at that period of time. But also, one of his jobs was he had a mail route. It was a little route that he would pick up a couple of bags of mail from the post office in Alma, Nebraska in the morning and take them to two tiny little Kansas towns, Woodruff and Long Island. And then he'd pick up mail there and bring them back, called a spur route. And in the afternoon, he would do the same thing, pick up mail sacks in Alma, take them to two towns in Kansas, bring the mail back. And if I could go on those trips, that was wonderful. I always encouraged him to take a different route. Now, there probably only was about a dozen different ways to go from Long Island, Kansas to Alma, Nebraska, but in my mind, there were hundreds of options, and he would figure out each of these options. And for every new road and turn, there'd be another story about who used to live there and what happened. There was one place in all of those journeys, though, that always got my attention. It was a rock outcropping that sort of stood up there above the Republican River Valley and Prairie Dog Creek. It was called Granite Bluff. Now, all the roads kind of went around it, but you could see it from everywhere. And as a small kid, I would imagine what would it be like to get up on top of Granite Bluff. So I kept pleading with my grandfather, let's go to Granite Bluff. And he'd say, no, you don't want to go there. Oh, let's go. And then he would change the subject and tell other stories. And, well, next time I went on that route, there was Granite Bluff again. And I imagined if you could get up on top of it, you could probably see all the way to the mountains in Colorado. Or I imagine maybe it was an old volcano, and oh, I had all these sort of things that I wanted to see and experience in Granite Bluff. And my grandfather would say, no, you don't want to go there. But one day we did. Off the road we went up to Granite Bluff. And there we came to a gate, locked, closed, a no trespassing sign. And my grandfather and I trespassed. reclimbed over the gate, and not up onto Granite Bluff, but down into Granite Bluff. It was a rock quarry. This whole hill had been carved out. There was just a shell of a little thin veneer of rock around the edges. So from down in the valley, you thought you were looking at a bluff, a plateau, but it was a hole in the ground. Well, it was disappointing. And we looked around and walked out, and I got kind of quiet, and we climbed back over the fence, got back in the car, and drove back. And my grandfather noticed how quiet I was and sad that Granite Bluff had not been a wonderful experience. And then he told me that the rock that was quarried out of that spot had built the Harlan County Dam and Reservoir. And he told the stories about, well, the flood of 38 and how now that dam was for flood control and irrigation and recreation. And in his own way of telling stories, that Granite Bluff had sacrificed its life to save the lives of others and give productivity and well-being to the whole community along the Republican River. And I felt good about that. Well, those adventures, of course, went to the wayside as I got older and he got older. And many years later, my grandfather had to have his legs amputated. He'd smoked all of his life, and the doctors had said the capillaries in his feet had collapsed. And in his late 80s, he had to have his legs removed. And I would go back to see him. I was growing an adult and with my own children, and it was difficult, but we would get him into a wheelchair and take him places. And he went one time on a family reunion, and I heard him holler from the bedroom. And I ran in. He was falling out of the bed, and without legs, he was going to collapse on the floor. And I picked up my grandfather and carried him back to the bed. And I realized that I had been doing that different times. I had picked up my grandfather to move him from the wheelchair to a car. And as I was carrying my grandfather, I remembered he always carried me. And it was an adventure. Well, my grandfather's long gone now, but I still carry my grandfather in my head, in my heart, in the stories, in the memories, and in the lessons of life.
Yeah, Larry, that is just beautiful. That's an absolutely gorgeous story, and I think one of your best. And grandfather will always live on with you, right?
We will carry each other.
Yeah, yes, and I see a little glistening in the eyes, sentimentality.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, Larry, I appreciate you coming by. I hope that you have a happy Father's Day, and I hope that the grandfather's story touched people's hearts today, our listeners.
Well, I hope so.
Happy Father's Day to you, Larry. Have a good weekend. Monday, we've got the Callaway County Plain Air and the Missouri River Communities Network. And if people want to contact you, it's
brownstory@hotmail.com. You can look at my website, www.brownstory.com. I'll be out of Camp Hickory Hill in June and Olivet Church July 9th for the gazebo concert.
Okay. Thank you, Larry.
See you then.
Program directed Travis McMillan, Reynolds Journalism Institute, audio Pat Akers, KBIA, our floor director, Lowell Thomas, our assistant producer, and guest coordinator, Uncle James Mouser. Bye-bye.